Hello, and welcome to episode 120 of Speak Beastie for September 20th, 2020.
I'm Anne.
I'm Helene.
I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Rex.
We're here, guys.
We are here.
Wow, we're here. It's September. This can you believe it's already the 75th month of 2020?
It's my birthday
month. March was like 74 months.
My birthday is in, 4 days from us recording.
Yay,
so
happy birthday.
But before this episode comes out. So yeah, thank you. I'm going to be 27. I can't believe
it.
You're going to be 28. Because I'm 28.
I'm going to be 27, hon.
Wait, am I not 28?
I'm just younger than you, I guess. I don't know. I'm going to be 27.
Well, you're like 7 or 8 months younger than I am.
Yeah. And your birthday's in December, and you're turning 28.
I thought I was 28.
No, you're still 27 then, I guess.
What year were you born? That'll be a pretty easy way to figure this out.
I was born in December of 92.
92. Okay, so you're going to be 28 in December.
Yeah, you're still 27.
Oh, so I'm not 28.
And I was born in 93. I was born in 93, so I'm turning 27. I like how you try to tell me what age I am. Like, you know.
I didn't know that I was not 28. I stopped counting once I turned 21.
And, like, Ashley and Megan are probably rolling their eyes at us. They're like, oh, they're just so young. I'm just kidding. They're not that much older than us. I just like to make fun of them.
I don't know, but this is the first podcast I'm recording in my new place.
Aww, how do you like it?
I have way much more space.
Nice.
Always good. We love space.
So much space. I have a desk now.
Woohoo!
Nice!
I don't even have that. It's jealous.
But are you actually sitting at it to record?
I am sitting at it.
That's impressive.
Fancy.
And
you can
I'm
have a desk,
by
but to
all
actually
of my
use it.
Therapy materials for toddlers.
Therapy materials? Is that what you said?
Yeah. I'm a pediatric speech therapist. I do.
Oh, I work
with primarily birth to three.
Right. My bad. I work in adult Greek life now.
Oh, that's right. How do you like it?
You know, I don't have many complaints at this point. It's very different because I've never worked like a quote-unquote service job before. I've always been very like corporate media agency, and this is the first time where like I work weekends, and you know, like my clients are country club members.
Wow.
And my job is essentially to keep them happy.
Yeah, they're a special brand of human.
They are.
Sure.
But you know what? When you get them on a good day, they're all very sweet and they're all very lovely.
I just like, all I think of are like Richard and Emily Gilmore and all of their friends at the club, you know, doing their golf thing.
It is 100% just like that.
I'm kind of jealous then, because I want to be best friends with Richard and Emily Gilmore.
Well, then you should get Lizzie's job.
No!
I'm coming to take your job,
I just
Lizzie.
Got this one!
Well, there are country clubs where you are, Helene. It's not just, like, they
no,
only
I want,
exist in
I want
one
specifically,
location.
I want specifically Lizzie's job.
That's going
to
be on your cover
I think
letter.
She's gonna have to, I think you're going to have to fight her for it.
Ooh, all right. And so the Phoenixes?
Now for the Phoenix Register.
Let's register some Phoenixes. I like this.
And now a message from our sponsors. Hey you, yes you, the magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as $1 a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind the scenes features. But wait, there's more. Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wiggs knees and how.
The final results for the fandom fundraiser for trans rights are in. You helped us raise over $6,000, with over $2,000 going to each of our three organizations. The three organizations are Lambda Legal, Trans Justice Funding Project, and the Marsha P. Johnson Institute.
Yay!
Yay! And those three are just LGBTQ plus charities with more of a focus on trans issues due to recent events regarding the trans community and the Harry Potter fandom. Orders will start shipping out right around the time of this episode release, so keep an eye out.
I'm so excited. I ordered like a baseball like raglan tee, and I am just so pumped to get it.
Oh, awesome. I got a tank top. I can't wait for it to come.
What did I end up getting?
You got I know what you got because I'm like I'm like the puppet, the person holding all the strings behind it.
I got a toe peg. A toe. But in all sincerity, you know, like, awesome cause. It's awesome, you know, everyone that posted all of the different, you know, the news sites and podcasts, etc. And, you know, just really great that we were able to, you know, do so much. It's great.
Yeah, I thought that it went so much better than I could have ever expected. I'm literally raising, we raised $6,000. Like, that's crazy.
That's amazing.
That's a lot of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, the fandom is definitely alive and kicking. If this didn't prove it to you, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
But I think I see some owls in the distance.
Oh, yeah,
I think the phoenixes have left now.
They've all been registered. Yep, we're just, here come the owls.
Yep, we're replacing one bird with another. Hi, owls. It's been a while. I missed you. So we have a couple of good owls this week for our owl post. The first one is answering the question, the podcast question from episode 119. The question was, who do you think the prophecy refers to, if not Corvus? And in case you forgot what the prophecy is, I will remind you. The prophecy is a son cruelly banished, despair of the daughter, return great avenger with wings from the water. And that's by Megan's boyfriend, Tycho Tadonis. And so the response we got was from Honestly Androgynous Nightmare on Tumblr. And they said, I think the prophecy could be referring to the Dumbledore family, which would fit nicely as the next film is meant to focus on the Dumbledores. I hope so. A son cruelly banished could be Albus, the daughter, Ariana, the Avenger. That one I'm not 100% sure of, but maybe Aberforth. I also read somewhere about it referring to Newt and Tina. Newt being banished from Hogwarts, Tina being the despairing daughter as Queenie left her, and her parents are dead. Not too sure about that one, though. What do we think about that?
I like
Why
the
Albus
Dumbledores.
Be the banished son?
I only heard Rex, so I don't know what
No, I was
said.
Just saying,
Sorry.
I like the being about the Dumbledores, but I agree that Albus doesn't fit as the son cruelly banished, unless you think of him, like, being banished from the life he wanted. Because he was supposed to have this great, fabulous life traveling the world, but instead he had to stay home to watch Ariana after his parents died.
Maybe it's Albus Severus instead of Albus Percival.
Oh, so it's
Brian.
so it's
about the Potter.
Don't start this.
So it is Cursed Child.
Not this. No, no.
Fantastic Beasts, Sorry. Cursed
Wait,
Child.
So does that mean
I didn't come back for this.
Sorry, Lizzie. No, that was a joke. No, I agree. I'm not exactly sure how Albus is banished. I do think maybe it's like self-inflicted because I feel like maybe he in a way banished himself.
Well,
because he blames himself so badly for Ariana's death. I don't know.
Is Aberforth somehow banished and then Albus is the Avenger? Because all I know about Aberforth is he owns the Hogshead and he likes goats.
I'm guessing someone probably banished him for being so friendly towards goats.
Well, didn't he do something?
He practiced inappropriate charms on a goat is the official explanation.
I think it's highly implied that bestiality was somehow involved.
But... So wouldn't that kind of be banished and then the Avenger would be Albus?
Maybe. I don't know. I guess, do we have a reason to believe that the prophecy is, 100% about the Lestranges? Or... Because, I mean, I like the idea that it could be about some other family, but I'm not 100% sure it's about the Dumbledores. I'm not convinced yet.
So, I'm just gonna do it. I'm just gonna be that person. Now,
Lizzie, be that person.
The podcast question was saying, who do we think it refers to if not Corvus? Have we, done it? What if it's Aurelius?
No! I mean,
so which one would Aurelius be then?
Aurelius
would
be Aurelius
the one that's returning with the daughter or the Avenger? Wings from the water.
Wait, what?
Wings from the water.
Wait, what?
Son cruelly banished, despair of the daughter, returned great Avenger with wings from the water. So the Avenger would be Aurelius, right?
Or would he be the son cruelly banished?
I mean, wait, it could be both. Son cruelly
banished, despair of the daughter. So I think return great Avenger. The Avenger is referring to the son cruelly banished.
Oh, great.
Oh, it's just the same thing.
Oh, well, good. That would make sense because when we think of referring to Corvus, it seems to be referring to the same person in those two lines.
Right.
But
then who's Aurelius's daughter? Or sister, sorry. Who's his sister?
Ariana!
Okay, so that is, though we're saying it is the Dumbledores then.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Credence isn't Aurelius Dumbledore, so no. But...
excuse me, ma'am. Did you see the last 5 minutes of the movie?
Hashtag justice for Aurelius.
Try to block it out.
Aurelius lives.
I love mess. Do you see what I did?
Chaos. You worship chaos.
It's like that TikTok where they're like, oh, girl, don't do it. I ain't gonna do it, girl. I did it.
Girl, I did it.
I did it. I did it.
Oh, my God. On that note, I loved that. Let's move on to the next owl post. So the next one is from Diskid.
I love Diskid.
And it looks to be in reference to our episode 118. Diskid says, your discussion about the Potterworld loving the roof made me laugh, as I always thought the same thing, as it's even included in the video games. In both the PC versions of Harry Potter 1 and 2, there is a debug cheat that allows you to walk on the roof. Oh, that's kind of cool. There's no extra rewards or storylines up there, but the fact that you can do it is really what the fun part is. Someone's gonna have to explain to me what's fun about walking on a roof, but I look forward to learning that.
Walked on a roof before?
In a video game, yes. I never thought it was that exciting.
Not I think the exciting video part game, is just because you can.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I'm excited for you then. In Harry Potter 1 PC, you can even jump off it without dying. Okay, that's kind of cool. The Prisoner of Azkaban PC, yes. You can do that also in the all the Lego Harry Potter games. You can just jump off.
Oh, yeah, you can jump off anything and over and over. Yeah.
It's great. I love the Lego games, mainly because of that. They continue on to say, the Prisoner of Azkaban PC version also has a plot line where you walk on the roof. The PS2 versions of Harry Potter 1 and 2 also have side storylines that take you to the roof once you get your broomstick and you can fly up there. In the Chamber of Secrets PS2, you can actually see people on the roof ready to broom race you or play gnome tossing from the roof. Obviously, a game Hermione doesn't know about. I think my favorite is the Order of the Phoenix game, where there are several side things you can do and also plot lines that have Harry climbing all over the roof. Colin even makes a line about it. About how cool it would be up there, unless you fell down, of course. I think it's a matter of witches and wizards being able to fly gives into our imagination of being able to go places muggles can't normally go, like roofs. Unless you're like me, of course, and part of your childhood was finding ways to climb up on the roof, much to your parents' dismay. And I will admit, part of the fun in climbing was the fact that I wasn't supposed to be able to do it.
Couldn't you use a ladder?
First of all, I want to... apologize to your parents for all of the stress that you probably caused them. I mean, I would, if I had a kid, which, I mean, that alone would be stressful. But if I had a kid who found it, like, fun to try and climb on the roof, I would just be, like, in constant stress that they were going to fall off and die. Poor parents.
Oh, my God. It's like the kid from Game of Thrones.
Bran?
You trying to make a Bran joke right now?
No, I'm just saying he liked climbing things, but then he got pushed out the window.
Yeah, he did get pushed out the window, didn't he?
I guess don't invite the Lannisters over when your kids are climbing on the roof, and it should be fine.
But Bran did win Game of Thrones. Spoiler alert.
Win. Well, spoilers.
He did win.
I actually haven't seen that show, so thanks.
Well, Bran wins.
Well, now I'm not going to watch it. Thanks.
Well, now you don't have to. It's bad anyway.
This show is true. Oh, I thought the show itself was good.
No, it's not good.
Isn't that what people think?
Well, okay. I've read the books, and they did my girl Sansa real dirty in the TV series versus the books. So I stopped watching just out of sheer principle.
I only watched because I supported who won, because I just didn't want the twins. I wanted the twins to lose. And they did lose.
Okay. The last season just wasn't good.
Also that, yeah.
Well,
but back to Harry Potter.
Yeah, good thing we're not talking about the last season of Game of Thrones in this podcast as the main discussion, right?
The question is, will we talk about the last Fantastic Beasts movie if that ever comes out?
Stop it.
Yeah.
But going back to Disc Kid, this just, once again, reinforces my true desire for Potter or whoever made those video games, the PC games, to just re-release them on, like, you know, updated platforms, because I would...
On the Switch.
Yes, I would very much like to replay the PC versions. And not the Call of Duty version that they released for 7.
Yeah. Like, what I just want, like, a reskin of The Sims where it's Harry Potter. Like, I would buy that and literally never leave my house because I'd be playing it all the time.
All of the nostalgia, though, just thinking about all those games. I remember, I think it was the Goblet of Fire game on the GameCube. My sister and I would play that game, and I think that you could, like, run around collecting Birdie Bots beans, and we would just be, like, yelling, Accio beans! Like,
the bean bonus room.
Yeah, it was...
That's the place. That's where the magic happened.
It was such a good game. I wonder if there are any roofs in that game. I wish I could go back and check.
Get a GameCube in the game.
Yeah, listeners, if you have a GameCube in the game, report back. Let us know. Can you climb on the roof?
Yes.
In
the
bean room.
These are important things. We need to know this.
Well. All right. All right, that was sufficiently awkward. Thanks, owls.
Bye, owls.
Bye. You're great. Return to your homes.
The owlry.
They don't have to live there. They could be wild owls.
Sure.
Well, that leads us into our main discussion. This week, we are covering 1 hour, 40 minutes, and 1 second to 1 hour and 50 minutes. If you're following along in the screenplay, that's going to be scene 104, starting with where Liedek says separate, to scene 114, just after Grindelwald says they have killed many of my followers. So we do start with scene 104, the interior Lestrange Mausoleum, night.
Yeah, my first note in this, because immediately we get to see that Black Family Tree-esque graphics of the tree and the flowers with all of the Lestrange family on them. And I just thought the graphics on that were just so stunning. They were so cool. They really, stepped it up from the Black Family Tree tapestry.
Well, yeah,
that's
a cool
tapestry, though.
It is.
The images, like the way the people are depicted on there. Is very similar to the Black Tapestry.
Well, they are eventually related.
True.
If not already.
You know what's hilarious about the Black Tapestry, the Black Family Tapestry, though, is everyone else on the Black Family Tapestry is, like, medievally kind of images. They don't really look like the person, even if you know what the person's supposed to look like. But then Draco on there is literally Tom Felton. It is.
Is it?
Yes,
oh,
it is,
man,
the
I'm have to go
funniest thing. I have a shawl from when I subscribed to the Loot Crate.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
It's got Tom Felton on there, and it is the funniest thing. I'll post a picture in the common room once this episode comes out.
Oh my gosh, I need to see that. That sounds amazing.
That sounds really funny.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I just thought the graphics, like, it was so well done. Like, I think that the one, not the one thing, but one of the huge things that the that this movie excels at is, like, visual effects.
Oh, definitely. It's a beautiful movie. Mm-hmm.
I just continue to laugh at the fact that women aren't even women to the Lestranges.
Nope.
Well, it's because when they get married, they become another family. They get a new surname.
Women of the Black family are still counted on the Black family tree, even though,
well,
they get married.
The Black
and have a different
family
surname.
Is more progressive than the Lestrange family. Yes. It's because they have Mama Black, whereas the Lestranges have Daddy Lestrange.
That's true.
Excuse me, Lita is the best Lestrange. Hands down.
That is true.
And she a girl.
Well, she just a flower on that family tree.
Well, then we move to the nursery in scene 105.
So flashback to 1901.
Yeah, Daddy Lestrange has seen some things.
Yeah, that is a 100-yard stare.
Yeah, well, now it's time for me to get back on my soapbox about how angry I am at this scene, because I still don't fully understand it, and logic makes me mad because there is none, and math
So the lack
is...
of logic makes you mad.
Yes, and math is irrelevant in this series, and Potter in general, anything.
It sure is.
So just once again, for everyone in the back, this boat trip was in 1901. But Fantastic Beasts 2 takes place in 1927, which means Credence, or Corvus, or Aurelius, or whatever the who the F he is, should be 26 years old, but he's only 18 in Fantastic Beasts 1, so he's 19 in Fantastic Beasts 2, but, like, who cares? It's fine.
But
wait, where do we know that he's 18 in the first one?
Ezra Miller confirmed it during press for the first one.
And I think that in one of those, like, supplemental books, it has his birth certificate.
Yeah, but it says 1904.
Well, even then, it's he's, you know, if he wouldn't be existing in 1901 during this boat.
But do you think they could have, like, forged the birth certificate when he came to Mary Lou Barebone's orphanage thing?
Yeah, I guess
what happened in those last 3 years
depends on who handed him over to, like, how long was he.
Well, you can forge anything. Like, I can forge, like, a birth certificate saying that I'm 18 now if I really wanted to.
I would love to see your attempt at an official document forgery, Rex. If you could do that and send it to me, I would love to.
Okay,
see that.
But on the other hand, if it's 1904 and you're handing a toddler who is walking and talking to a lady and you're saying, yes, this is a newborn child. Like, I feel like,
but
they're gonna
maybe,
be like, you know, I don't think this child was born in 1904. Call me crazy.
Maybe Credence is like Renesmee and just grew up really fast.
Or maybe he's like Benjamin Button and he grew backwards.
There are a lot of fandoms that are just coming into here, and I'm just my head is spinning. But, like, listen, surprise, Credence. They lied to you like Dee Dee did to Gypsy Rose Blanchard, and you're actually old.
Wow, I was not expecting to see that kind of reference tonight.
Well, it's honestly the first thing I thought of. Which
all
is
of the fandoms.
Kind of weird. Yeah.
We have Twilight. We have Benjamin Button. We have Gypsy Rose.
I was also going to bring, like, Arthurian legend into this, because there's a version where Merlin grows backwards as well.
Oh, yeah. But
why not? There's no logic. Throw it all in. Let's put it
but
in a bowl
also,
and pick one out
no
and see which one
Hogwarts.
Sticks.
So
there,
maybe
no...
wizards are just
I mean,
really bad at math.
Haven't we, like, already admitted that J.K. Rowling is awful at math? Like,
yes.
I think she admitted that she's bad at math.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. This is when the last episode I was on with Kat and Rex, and I just, like, ranted for 45 minutes about how McGonagall being in this movie doesn't make sense either. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
That was the last episode you were on?
Yeah, I haven't been on one since then.
Oh, okay. I think that was the last episode I was on because I moved.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
I mean, the whole thing is just nonsense. When I started the film up to rewatch these scenes, I was just like, not this. Please, not this.
Oh, I was so happy for this. I think it's a I love the Wizard Titanic scene.
I mean, I do too. It's just every time I start to think about it, which is my problem, is that I think about it.
Yeah, you really have to just, like,
your
turn
problem.
You have to
See,
turn
I
your
don't
brain
think
off.
About it. I'm just like, oh, it's 1901 now. Like, okay, I've really never thought about the math.
It's a much better place, Rex. Stay there. But just for fun, I did look up shipwrecks in 1901, and there were 24 UK ships that crashed in that year. So,
but wow. Were these Muggle ships or wizard ships? Because we are talking about the wizard Titanic.
Okay, but I honestly, that was one of my questions. I don't think that, if this was a boat full of wizards, first of all, it doesn't make sense. Why would wizards be taking a boat? Like, why don't
because
they apparate
a
or
port key
use
was expensive
or
how
like they can
is
use
a port
okay but
key?
Like okay but is what how many there are so many other forms of transportation. They could have apparated, they could have used flue powder, they could
but
have,
they're going across they, the
hey, hey,
and
I wasn't
a lot of
done.
People don't do
excuse
transatlantic
me,
apparations.
Excuse me, sir, I was not done.
I am rebuttaling this because the boat makes sense.
You have to wait until the end of my argument to rebut. They could have flown brooms, they could have flown thestrals. They could have ridden the Hogwarts Express, rerouted across the sea. I don't know, there's so many things that they
How
could
do
have
you
done.
Reroute a train?
If I may interject.
Okay, I'm also going to rebut once y'all are done.
If I may interject here, my first point is they were young children. My second point was, weren't they trying to, sneak them out, sneakily? Because they didn't want people to know that they were gone. And so my third point goes along with the second point and the first point of, I think it was a Muggle ship.
Yeah, I don't think it's a ship full of wizards, if anything, for sure.
I still think it's the wizard Titanic.
As far as, fluing or apparition, the longest example we have of a flu trip is when Newt and Jacob go from the cliffs of Dover to Paris. That's about 230 miles by driving.
That's a port key.
Oh, you're right. So that's the longest example of a port key. And then the longest apparition that we see, I might be wrong about this, people are probably screaming at their phones already. But the longest one that I could think of off the top of my head was when the Harry, Ron, and Hermione apparate from London to the Forest of Dean. And that's about 120 miles.
Yeah, but just because we don't see anything farther doesn't mean it's not possible.
That's true.
But didn't they say in book 5 that, cross large bodies of water apparition is really hard? Isn't that somewhere in one of the books?
I don't remember, but I mean, if you have the 3 Ds, what else do you need?
A boat.
Oh, goodness. I don't know. I agree with Lizzie. I think it was weird that they took a ship at all, but I can understand them being sneaky and wanting to, go undetected and therefore trying to, pretend they were Muggles. So I do think, if anything, it has to be a Muggle ship. Because also, if it was a wizard ship and it crashed, I definitely think they would have been able to,
Yeah, wouldn't they have just stopped the boat or the water or floated or Wingardium Leviosa'd?
What if Elsa threw an iceberg and it was magic?
Not this! Not this!
Elsa's just let it go, and she's just flinging icebergs.
Wait, let's make this worse. Ready? But what if, because, time doesn't matter and there is no logic and math is completely irrelevant. What if this is
the Titanic?
What if this is the storm that also killed Anna and Elsa's parents?
Oh, were they
and
on
therefore,
the boat?
Yeah, and therefore kickstarted the Little Mermaid. Let's just go there.
And Tarzan.
Oh my goodness.
There's no timing here. It's irrelevant.
Well, how did it kickstart the Little Mermaid?
Because have you ever seen that theory that the ship that Ariel finds in The Little Mermaid, is the ship from Frozen?
No, I haven't heard that theory. The theory I heard
you
was
need
that
to dig
Anna
deep
and
into
Elsa's
that one.
Mom and dad were Tarzan's mom and dad, which then Disney said, they're dead.
Oh, well, it's all tied into that one. They're all tied in. Just search Little Mermaid Frozen ship, and maybe it'll come up.
Yeah, it will, even though I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but that theory was debunked by the sequel.
No.
Okay, you're right, it wasn't. Never mind.
There's no logic here.
It's Wizard Titanic. There is no logic.
I was
logic.
Just,
We're
I wanted to say
wizards.
Exactly what Anne said, so I was going to say it, and I'm glad she said it instead.
No, don't worry.
But
the
aren't wizards supposed to be
on.
Bad
I'm
at
good.
Logic? Because in Sorcerer's Stone, there was the logic puzzle that Hermione did.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, now wizards are bad at word problems.
See, word problems, math. Makes sense.
All right, moving on. Scene 106.
Yeah, we are 2 scenes in.
This episode has already gone way off the rails. Here we are, ship's cabin, 1901, night. Leta is staring at Corvus. And I feel like Lita staring at Corvus and thinking, let me sleep, is a mood for 2020, because we're all Lita and COVID is Corvus and none of us can sleep.
I can sleep, but I'm a professional sleeper.
No one but Rex can sleep.
I understand, like, making excuses for the fact that she was a child, but I do think that, you know, your baby brother crying one night, like, for hours, if that's enough to trip you off to, like, literally giving him to a stranger, then, I mean, I love Lita. Don't get me wrong.
But you're the youngest, Helene. You don't understand a younger sibling.
I guess that's true, but I also don't think that I would, like, literally give away, like, throw my baby brother into a different, like, hotel room in a hotel, if he was crying.
She just baby swapped. You know,
like, yeah, that's a harsh reaction. I'm sorry. That's, like, hard right turn.
Didn't the Rugrats try to do that, though?
Did they?
Tried to just, like, get rid of the baby brother?
They tried to get rid of Dill Pickles. Yeah.
Yeah. This episode's got everything.
Oh,
it's got
my
Disney
God.
Conspiracies. It's got the Rugrats. It's got Renesmee.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, it does have Game of Thrones.
This is an episode for everyone. You'll find something you like.
And goodness. To bring it back, since I've been talking about Wizard Titanic, just remember, this is not about Jack and Rose. It is about Lita and Corvus, and that is why the delectable diva, the spectacular singing sorceress, Celestina Warbeck, composed the iconic song My Brother Is Gone for the release of Wizard Titanic.
Wow.
I would like a
demo. I love that song.
You have to pay on Wizard iTunes.
Did you just make that up?
No, Wizard iTunes is a real thing, just like Wizard Starbucks.
No, I mean, I didn't mean Wizard iTunes. I mean the name, My Brother Is Gone. Is that like an actual Celestina Warbeck song?
No, it's not. Did you just make that up? I started with My Heart Will Go On, and I kind of got My Brother Is Gone from that because of the notes in the doc.
My brother is gone.
Because I just thought it was really funny.
Wow. So, Helene, when do we get to the whole song as a Patreon exclusive that I can make as my ringtone?
Someone write the lyrics for me, and I'll sing it for you guys.
See, we have, like, Celestina Warbeck. We have Celine Dion. Just adding more and more fans.
Helene Dion? I mean, Helene, Celine. It's fine.
They rhyme. I appreciate that.
So we already talked about whether or not the ship is full of wizards. So we can skip to scene 108. Still interior ship's cabin, 1901 night.
So, and this is after the baby swap.
Yes.
Lita has gone in, swapped out baby Corvus with baby Credence, and now she's walking out with baby Credence.
Well,
so
Credence isn't Credence now. We don't know his name.
Correct. Okay, so little baby who knows. Little baby Nemo, we'll call him, because Nemo means no one.
Yeah, Pixar again.
And oh yeah, there's the Pixar in this podcast. Anyway, in the screenplay, there's a line when Credence's aunt comes out of the cabin, apparently, and she says, "Irma, they want us to put on life jackets." And it's not in the final film, which is too bad, because that really gives you a ton of context and a ton of story.
That implies that Irma and Credence's, or Nemo's aunt, knew each other.
Exactly.
Which is interesting.
Because it makes Lita's actions make a little bit more sense, because she's not just going into a stranger's cabin to find another male baby that happens to be the exact same age as her brother. She's going into the cabin of this woman that her caretaker's been hanging out with, who also happens to have a baby who's the same age as Corvus.
That's smart thinking if you ever do a baby swap.
I do have to say, when I was watching this, the lady who is listed as Credence's aunt, I think at some point there was like some, maybe IMDb credited her or something as Kendra Dumbledore, or no, what was it? Somebody. It was,
really?
It was, they referenced her as a Dumbledore. What?
Yeah. No, I remember this.
Yeah, I can't remember what the name
is.
Is
it on IMDb?
I think it used to be. I don't think it is anymore, but they did reference her as a Dumbledore, and I honestly, like, she just looks like a Dumbledore to me. Don't ask me why. I can feel it. I have Dumbledore. It's like radar Dumbledore. For Dumbledores. and I can just feel it. Like, this is why I really do believe that he is a Dumbledore, Credence is, because, like, she just, like, is a Dumbledore. His aunt is a Dumbledore.
I will argue this being wrong.
Of course you will, because you just like to disagree with
me. No, because he can't. No, he's not a Dumbledore. Like, I will go to my grave saying he is not a Dumbledore.
Okay, we'll see you there. Bye.
Helene's got help. Helene's got backup. I'm her second here.
Aurelius Dumbledore is a thing. Okay, a thing. I believe it.
If it's not a thing, this entire movie was a waste of time.
I have Dumbledore,
just
okay?
Because he has a plan. He has a plan. He's just like, oh, I'm going to do this. So then Credence does this and this and this. But then he loses a fight to Dumbledore. He doesn't die. He loses a fight.
Okay, this is a completely separate discussion for a completely separate episode. But just trust me, okay? I have Dumbledore and I know a Dumbledore when I see one. I am like the resident Dumbledore expert here. And that woman is a Dumbledore.
You know, not to agree with Helene because he's not really a Dumbledore.
Not to agree with her or anything.
But when you mentioned in the doc that she reminded you of a Dumbledore, when I thought about it, and I just pulled her up on the wiki just now to have another look at her, Harry describes Kendra as reminding him of a Native American, having like really aggressive cheekbones and dark hair. And at least this screen cap on the wiki...
She does?
The actress who's playing Credence Sand does have some pretty aggressive cheekbones and dark
exactly.
hair.
Exactly.
So she may not be a Dumbledore, but that doesn't necessarily mean she's not his aunt, just his aunt on his mother's side.
Yeah, I kind of want to see if I can find out where she was credited as a Dumbledore at one point. Let me see if I can find it.
I don't know, because on IMDb right now, she's listed as Credence's aunt.
Yeah, the wiki says she might be Honoria Dumbledore, but...
Yeah, like, I think it was at one point, but then they changed it, because it was, like, so controversial.
Anyway, so the fact that Credence has an aunt is...
Means one of his parents
means
had
that we know who he is now.
Sister.
Because we all know who else has an aunt. You know who it is? It's Spider-Man. Therefore...
Sorry.
Credence's aunt is May Parker, and Credence is Peter Parker, and he is out here doing whatever a spider can.
Spider-Man does whatever Spider-Man does. Okay. Yes, we brought Spider-Man into this podcast,
and MCU.
I am fully behind this theory.
This episode has quickly turned into what feels like an SNL Weekend Update Stefan sketch.
Oh, no.
But
this episode
Spider-Man can be a fantastic beast, if you think about it, because he has fantastic powers. And we do know where to find him. New York.
I would argue that Spider-Pig is more of a fantastic beast than Spider-Man.
True, although...
But I agree with the general concept.
But
I mean, a spider is a beast.
Well, is Spider-Man
what
a beast
if he's
or being?
What
would he be a being?
He's a being.
What about Eric? Well, what about like an acromantula? What if he's part acromantula? What if he was bitten by a radioactive acromantula?
Acromantula.
And so he's like acromantula man.
I love it. I dig it. It's on. It's perfect.
Oh gosh,
this is taking a turn.
So does that mean Peter Parker is a Dumbledore? No.
No.
Yeah.
You know why? Because Credence is not a Dumbledore.
You're wrong, Rex. Okay, let's move on.
Anyway, moving on. So ship is sinking. It's been hit by Elsa's iceberg because Elsa made the iceberg that sank both her parents' ship and this ship.
I don't think Elsa made the iceberg that sunk her parents' ship. I think, like, a wave sank the ship.
No, it was an iceberg.
Oh, it was an iceberg? Elsa is struggling right now.
Anne's just like, I know this, guys.
Trust me, I've seen Frozen 2 3 times.
Same.
So anyway. So do you think it was in that moment that Lita was like, yeah, this did not go the way I planned?
I'm 6 and I didn't think this through.
I mean, I'm surprised that she didn't
say
something.
Well, her frontal lobe isn't
like,
fully developed yet, so probably not.
Yeah. I mean, she just kind of like stares at like the room where she left her real brother, and she isn't like, hey, Irma, can we go back? I left our brother in the other room. Like, we should go back and get him.
Yeah. I almost went to a dark place just now, and then I was like, let's pull yourself out of that one.
Aw. Well, we're about to go to a dark place anyway.
Yeah, we sure are. Because
we get to see this. Everything's been at nighttime.
This is the second baby death that we get to see in this movie, so that's
great.
What's
the first baby? Oh, the French baby.
It is the second baby death. The French baby, yeah. Yes, we get lots of baby deaths in this movie, unfortunately.
Yeah, that moment when you realize, you flash back to the Boggart scene, and you realize exactly what Lita's Boggart is.
Yeah,
it's not a bedsheet.
It's so heartbreaking, especially when you see that little hand coming out of the wrappings, and oh god,
I still didn't see.
Break your heart.
I'm just being honest.
So then we cut back to the present day, and we are back in the Lestrange mausoleum, and the flower that represents Lita wraps around Corvus, causing it to turn black and crumble away, which is ouch.
Yeah, I also, I had a question about this because I feel like this family tree obviously is, you know, run by some sort of magic, and it has Corvus's flower literally like wither and die, which is, I'm guessing, its own way of marking that someone is dead on the family tree. And I feel like maybe the magic that is tied to it is tied to the lives of the people on it, similar to the Weasley clock. So like, the clock can tell like where the people are, and I'm sure if someone died, the clock would also tell you that. And so I feel like this to me is proof enough that Corvus is actually dead. And like his, like, there's no question that, like, I don't think the tree could be tricked personally. I don't know about you guys.
No, I'm with you. I think this definitely proves that Credence isn't Corvus.
Yeah. Cool.
He's still not a Dumbledore.
No.
Well, he's not a Lestrange, so
he's something.
He's just
I have feelings about this.
Trying to figure out where he's from.
We're not going to have this argument right now. We're going to move on.
About him being a beast because he's an Obscurus?
No, about him not being a Dumbledore because he is a Dumbledore. Okay.
He's not.
Now, let's move on.
You know what's sad? We could have like been really close to having an answer about this.
Yeah, because the movie ought to be coming out next year, right? Yeah, next year. But it's not.
It hasn't moved yet, though.
Yeah, but it's not.
Yeah. Really? Anyway, this is just a...
Did I make that up, that the film was delayed? I guess
the
I did.
The film hasn't been officially delayed yet. It's still shooting for, I believe, November 2021.
November 2021 is still the date. But, I mean, they haven't even started filming yet. They're not.
I thought they just resumed filming a couple days ago.
No, it's in September, and the time of recording, it is August 26th, so it has not technically started.
But it's going
filming
to.
Yet. It will, I mean, unless they push it back even more, which they might, and then, I don't think they're going to be able to make the November 2021 date if they haven't started filming it, but what do I know?
They had but those 2 days before, safety like, Hollywood first. Shut down.
Yeah, they definitely got a lot done in those 2 days, Rex.
Yeah, they knew that it was going to shut down, and they were like, let's just film the whole movie now.
Okay, let's go.
But Lita in this entire scene is just, she just, this, like, I think, like, this scene is one of the main scenes why I love Lita so much, even though she's, like, a very small character. Like, she's not in a lot. She's just in this one movie. But this one scene is just so heartbreaking for her. I love her.
She's gonna return though, because Lita lives.
Hashtag Lita lives.
Lita
here.
Lives. I mean, you don't have to convince me.
Yeah, like that when she looks at Newt and she says, "You never met a monster you couldn't love." Lita.
Love her so much.
And it's just so painful because Newt's face, you know, he's clearly hurt by this because he knows that she's hurting and he can't take the hurt away, and he knows I'm sure he's felt a similar type of way, and it just all hurts.
Yeah, like honestly, with the portrayal we see of Lita in this movie, I don't understand how Queenie, when she saw it, Lita in Newt's thoughts, could characterize her as a taker, because if she is taking, it's just because she's reacting to so much being taken from her. Like, I feel like she's not really a giver or a taker. She's just reacting however she can to get through in this world that is super not fair to her.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, she has dealt with so much trauma in her life, and I think that if anything, maybe she isn't characterized a giver, but I don't think that just because someone's not a giver, that means they're a taker. Like, it doesn't have to be one or the other.
Well, she might have been a taker for Newt, though. Like, there might have been something she did to Newt. And that doesn't necessarily mean she's a taker for everyone.
She might have taken advantage of his kindness. I mean, he was a good friend to her, and, you know, maybe she didn't treat him as well as a friend should because she was more focused on herself. But, I mean, this is all speculation. That's the best explanation I could think of.
Yeah, I guess it's possible that, you know, Queenie was only pulling from Newt's memories, which are presumably of Hogwarts and, I guess, her being around Theseus, because we don't know when they got engaged, if that was in between, like, the first movie and the second movie or whatever, or how much he knows her as an adult. But, wait, I had a point here, and I don't remember what it was. I don't remember, whatever. It'll come to me later, and I'll just start yelling in the middle of an unrelated scene.
That's perfectly acceptable, yeah.
I'm on board.
Anyway, so Tina asks Lita... Oh, right, now I remember. I said Lita, and that triggered my memory. The moment that sticks out to me so much for Lita being a giver versus a taker versus whatever is that scene when they're in the cemetery, and Tina's, like, trying to get out of the case... And Lita stops and holds out her hand and helps her out.
Yeah.
And it's such this tiny, profound moment. And they could have easily done, like, the love triangle. The two women hate each other because they both love Newt because Eddie Redmayne's so great, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. They made them allies. They made them friends. And it's such, oh, I love Lita. Anyway.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. And hashtag Lita better live or I will riot.
Anyway. So, Tina asked Lita, so, did you know who Credence was when you switched them? And Lita just looks at her like, I was six.
No, I don't.
Fair call. No idea.
Fair assessment.
And Credence acts like, that's it. I guess I have to believe whatever line of crap Grindelwald feeds me, because obviously there's no way I can pull the ship's manifest or whatever.
He has to figure out how to get it. There's no internet. He might not know that's a thing.
That's true.
I mean, that would have been helpful, though, to find the manifest. Someone should have thought of that.
Yeah, because then you can see how many dead babies are on there. Oh, there's only two dead babies. Okay, it must be one of them.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully there weren't more than that.
But if the ship sank, would the manifest get lost?
No, because the manifest would presumably be with the at the office for the ship's line.
And they can,
I mean, I guess, unless it was just one guy who ran a ship out of his house or something.
And then they can take a note of who the survivors were, and, you know, everyone else is marked dead, probably.
But if it was a Muggle ship and they were sneaking away, don't you think there's a chance they used fake names?
Little Strange is sure,
or
but
they
why
have, like,
would Credence's family
and been sneaky?
Be.
They were just walking on, like, they'll
be suspicious. Yeah, but in that case, I don't think they'd be in a fancy cabin hanging out with the other passengers.
How did they get a cabin?
Maybe they had, like, a wand and used some magic to make fancy people, like, sleep somewhere else.
They had a wand.
Who needs anything else when you have a wand?
All right, anyway. the door opens at the back of the Lestrange tomb. Jacob looks down, says, oh boy, this seems like a great idea, and goes down to look for Queenie.
Really? I don't remember him saying that. I wish that...
No, he did. That's it. And he goes down into the underground amphitheater, which is under the Lestrange tomb. And in the screenplay, once again, it says that the acolytes are masked in the amphitheater, which I'm really glad they're not, because that would have been... way too close to the Death Eater costumes.
But why would they need an amphitheater in, like, this mausoleum? Like, what's the purpose of it? Because do they just throw parties when someone dies?
It's on brand.
I mean, maybe they have, like, the funerals down here.
Oh.
The what?
The funerals?
Oh, the funerals.
Like, they have the funerals in the amphitheater.
I thought you said theater halls. I was very confused. I thought you said theater halls.
You thought what?
I thought you said theater halls. And I was like, what does that mean?
I mean, sure, maybe there's also a community theater that uses this as their space to put on, you know, Molière shows.
Listen,
I don't know.
Times are tough. Prohibition.
Like all of the dead bodies and, like, the ghosts come out and, like, put on a show every night. And That's what it's for.
Zombies.
Oh, this is what they based Phantom Manor on at Disneyland Paris. I see.
Well, I caught this line from Nagini. You see Nagini and Credence kind of sneaking in, and Nagini like holds on to Credence's arm and is like, they're all pure bloods. They're going to kill us for sport. And I thought that was weird because do we know the blood status of Nagini? Like, I assume that she was a pure blood because, you know, Voldemort likes her and he tends to like pure bloods, but maybe.
But she's a Maledictus, so she has cursed blood. Yeah, like, can that even be possible? So even if she was pure, wouldn't that make her, like, lesser pure?
Dirty blood.
Pure.
Yeah, like, I don't know if a malediction is something that can only be, like, afflicted on pure bloods, or if they have to have, like, mixed
blood. Well, it's from their mother. Something.
Yeah, so at least we know her mother was probably magical.
Wasn't Astoria, like, Malfoy's mom?
Astoria Greengrass.
Malfoy's wife. Yeah, Malfoy's wife. I mean, of course, he definitely married a pure blood. There's no way he wouldn't
have married a pure blood. Well, the Greengrass is a pure blood family. It's a part of the Secret
28. Exactly. And she was a Maledictus, so I wonder if maybe she would be considered not a pure blood just because of her malediction, or if, you know, Nagini was just, you know, not actually a pure blood before she got her malediction.
But isn't she also from, I don't remember where they say it in the movie, but she's from the, like, circus person, dude, man, wizard thing.
Oh, well, he says Skender? That she's from the, like, the jungles of Borneo or something, but that doesn't necessarily mean that she's from there. Like, she's probably from London, you know, like, from Cheapside or something, and they're like, no, she's from the jungles of Borneo!
Yeah.
Because she's exotic.
Yeah, I don't know, I just thought it was a strange thing to hear Nagini say that she's not a pure blood, because I just assumed she was, but I could.
She's pure dirty.
Well, they said that they will kill their pure bloods. That's not necessarily saying she is one or is not pure blood.
She says that, like, since the people at this rally are pure bloods, their kind kill our kind for sport.
Yeah, because she's a Maledictus.
And Credence is an Obscurial. Like, neither of them are fully human.
That is true.
Well, is Nagini considered a human right now, or a sneak?
Well, she's in her human form, so I would say human.
She's a human.
Okay. But, like, on her passport or driver's license.
On her passport! It doesn't have a species spot on your passport.
What snakes do you know that have passports, Rex?
This is the 1920s.
What snakes do you know that are traveling right now? There's a pandemic on.
Oh my God. There could be magic passports. Wizard passports. There's so many wizard things already.
There could be anything. Just like we could be moving on to the next part of this scene.
About Queenie and Jacob.
Anyway, like the fact that Jacob and Queenie are adorable because he spots her and she's like, oh, honey, I love you. And he's like, I love you too. And they hug and it's so cute. But Queenie wanting to listen to Wizard Hitler is super not adorable.
She's just deep in the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, Queenie's drunk.
Queenie is, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so Queenie is a freshman who's really excited that she got into a bar on open mic night, and Jacob is a junior who just got out of his night class and is, like, really over it, and she's just like, oh my God, honey, I'm so glad you made it!
Oh, and like, Jacob's meeting her out after the class,
yes,
so she's
yes,
been there
and
for, like,
yeah,
what are
we
doing?
And he's like, babe, you're drunk.
What are we doing, like, here? Let's leave.
She's
on.
Like, hey, look, I know. But also, I thought maybe we could just, like, stick around and listen to the plan, play one more song, maybe have one more drink.
And then we could do a song together on karaoke. I was thinking maybe, like, I don't know, Queen or something. Let's do it.
Because it's like me, I'm Queenie.
Exactly.
Your girl's drunk.
Honestly, though.
And, like, what gets me is that, like, Queenie, you're Jewish! Don't listen to Nazis!
But
then
he doesn't see Muggles as lesser. So he's not saying, oh, Jews suck. He's talking about Muggles.
Also, we have to remember that Grindelwald is just an allegory for Nazism. Yeah.
He's not a Nazi.
The fact that she's Jewish is nothing to do with it, except that it fits in with the World War II allegory. But I also refuse to believe that Queenie is smart. Like, I refuse to believe that she's as dumb as they're kind of painting her out to be in this scene.
It's because she's drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, she has to be, because, like, there's no other, like, she knows that whatever Grindelwald's path is going to be bad for Jacob. She can't not know that. So, like, the fact that she would fully know that and then go ahead with it is, like, she has to be drinking the Kool-Aid. There's no other way.
There's something wrong with her in this scene.
I mean, it's not good for Jacob, but it's good for her, and then she thinks she can protect Jacob. So she's like, so it still works.
It seems too idealistic for her, I think.
Well, I think it's because she's from America, where she can't be with Jacob, and Grindelwald's touting that he wants muggles, no mages, can't spells, no magique, to be, like, equal or something like that. I think
If we're going to get into his speech,
that's later on.
He's saying they're equals in the fact that they're not inferior. So, like, he's not making it so the wizards are scared, he's not making it so the wizards feel superior to the muggles like Voldemort did, but he's painting them out to be an enemy so that wizards fear them, because fear is a bigger motivation, I think. Than superiority. Like, with Voldemort, it was just like, oh, these muggles are, they're nothing, they're beneath us, they're below us, we're so much better than them. But I think if you say these muggles are going to literally threaten everything we know and take everything away from us, then, like, people are going to act on that faster and more intensely, I think.
Yeah.
Well, since we're already moving on into scene 112, so this scene is where Grindelwald does his big speech. And I gotta say, Claudia Kim is really acting the hell out of the scene. Like, she's standing next to Credence, and you can feel how uncomfortable she is. Like, it's in the screenplay, it says she's trusting no one, and you just really, she's radiating that. Like, you look at her, and you just feel, you know, she does not want to be here. Also, while I'm talking, how dare Grindelwald call me a can't spell? Because I won a spelling bee when I was in fifth grade. I'm really good at spelling.
And so is Dan Fogler, right?
That's right. Dan Fogler was in the original Broadway cast of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. So he definitely can spell.
And he won a Tony for that, right?
Were you talking about yourself or Dan Fogler in fifth grade?
What?
Herself in fifth grade, but...
Was that you being you or you being Dan
Fogler?
No, it's
me being me. I actually won a spelling bee when I was in fifth grade, and Dan Fogler was also in the original Broadway cast.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes you really just have to continue to sit and just say, Dan Fogler has a Tony Award.
He sure does.
Yeah, it's something I forget daily. Okay. But I'm really curious as to where the origin of can't spell came from, because...
Me too!
I've never heard that before.
Like, I was thinking maybe... I don't know why I thought Australian, but I also thought, like, so my husband's taking Japanese from when we went to Japan 2 years ago. He's still taking it. And the word, like, the Japanese word for hungry literally translates to, like, empty stomach. And the Japanese word for thirsty literally translates to dry throat. So I was wondering if maybe in Japanese... the word for muggles, no magus, whatever, is can't spells, and that's just literally how it translates from Japanese.
That would be hilarious.
That would be interesting. I wonder if there's anything written on wizardingworld.com, because, like, do they have any extra textual, like, information on the Japanese school, which the name of which is escaping me right now.
It's Mahoru something.
Yeah, Mahotokoro, yeah. Rex would definitely know. You're right, because we did that entire tournament. But yeah, I wonder if they have any textual, like, anything written out about what they call them.
I'm scrolling.
Yeah, I'm looking on the wiki too.
Their website right now.
Do 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 do.
I don't think it has anything about what they call
muggles.
Muggles, but yeah, I mean, like, it's... I haven't, like, read this. in a while.
It's kind of a like an obscure trivia thing to put on there, but it would be interesting to know.
Yeah, there's nothing on the Harry Potter wiki, which doesn't mean a ton because the Harry Potter wiki is kind of meh, but...
Oh,
yeah.
I'm on Wizarding World right now.
Wow, if only we had an encyclopedia.
If we only had
still wouldn't have
bar.
This information in it.
While we're figuring this out, can I just point out, like, what happened to Grindelwald's eye? Do we ever find that out? Because, like, that's all I could stare at during this entire scene was his
what,
eye.
What, his eye? Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
Wait, guys.
Did he have the messed up eye when he was Jamie Campbell Bauer?
I think so. I think he did.
Guys, so I'm on, like, a random, like, site. I'm on, like, fandom.com.
Okay.
So Harry Potter wiki. And, I mean, take it as you will, but somebody wrote in 2018, so far we know that non-magical people are called Muggles in Britain, Nomaj in America, and non-magique. And, oh, wait, never mind. This doesn't give me anything new. Just kidding.
Couldn't we just ask someone who speaks Japanese that has a Japanese
Harry Potter book? It would definitely be a different word.
I have a Japanese Harry Potter book.
Are you serious?
I do. Yeah, hang on. I've got it in...
Wait, are you going to be able to translate it, though? Because
I can hold Google Translate on my phone over it and see what it says. I'll be right back.
Well, you need to find a spot where it says it, though. Like,
yeah, I have to figure that out first.
Well, this person says, I think Japanese wizards might call Muggles... Oh, I can't say that, but... M-A-H-O-U-J-A-N-A-I.
Oh, wait. Let me type this out. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. Don't say it again. Okay, I'm ready.
M-A-H-O-U-J-A-N-A-I. Which translate to literally mean not a magic person.
Oh, well. I mean, can I... I have a note here where in the speech where Grindy is saying, I do not hate them. I do not. It reminds me of the first 6 seconds of a scene from The Room, which I wonder if I play it, if it will come across.
I didn't even have to click on it, and I could just hear it.
I'm gonna see if I play the video if it'll come across in the recording, because you can me saying it will just not, it will not do it justice. And let me figure, because it is quite a scene. Okay, here we go. You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not.
Oh,
hi, Mark. Wow. Oh, you talked over the best part of the scene. Oh, hi, Mark.
Wow, that was something.
I don't know. If you guys have never seen The Room, you actually have to, but this is where the senior Tommy Wiseau is just like, Oh my God! If you don't watch The Room,
or you can watch Disaster Artist.
Yeah, watch the Disaster Artist, because they show like the entire making of this scene, and it is hilarious. But it just reminded of me of when Grindy said, "I do not hate them. I do not.
I do not hate them. I do not."
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Albus.
Oh, hello, Otis.
Did we figure out this whole can't spell thing, or should we move on?
No, I've got my Japanese copy of Philosopher's Stone, but it's in Japanese, so...
Yeah,
that's what you need to go to at least the Keeper of the Keys chapter.
Yeah. Okay. That would be the chapter.
Okay, I've got it. Keep talking, this is gonna take me a minute.
Oh. Okay. I thought you found it.
No, I mean, it's in kanji. Like, it's not even in Roman letters. So, I have no idea what's going on in
Roman letters, because it's Japanese.
Anyway, so the only other note on that we have on this scene is from Anne. So I can try and say what I think Anne might be thinking. And the fact that she asks, how much do we think Newt knows about the Blood Pact pendant? Because he obviously looks at it and clocks it as something important, and he sets our favorite Niffler pastries out to steal it later on. So do we think Dumbledore told him about the Blood Pact, or do you think he just sees that and he's like, shiny thing?
I thought pastries left on their own free will and was just like, shiny.
Yeah, I also kind of, I could see that. I also think that maybe Newt just looked at it and was like, that thing looks weird. I wonder what that is.
Also, update, I did find it in Keeper of the Keys. The Japanese translation does just say Muggle.
Oh.
So, unfortunately, at least in the Japanese translation of when Hagrid is saying Muggle, they say Muggle.
Well, maybe we'll find out in the next movie what the origin of can't spells is. Maybe it's, you know, Brazilian. It's Portuguese. Maybe, because the next one takes place in Rio, right? So maybe yes. maybe it's the Portuguese version. Who knows?
Maybe. And I mean, we know that, like, the word that is used in the English, in the various translations of the books, and the word in the culture is not necessarily the same, because I know that the word for Muggle in the French translation is very different from non magique.
That is true. Yeah. Well, I hope we find out. Or, you know,
I hope so too.
Maybe they'll just release something on wizardingworld.com at some point and we'll find out then. But either way, I need more information on Ilvermorny, so they can just throw that in there with that. That would be great.
Do you also need just more information on the etymology of all words for Muggle?
That would be cool. I mean,
that would be cool.
I would read that.
All right. So we move on to scene 113. We are cutting back out to the cemetery, and the Aurors are a-coming.
Dun, dun, yep, dun.
And Theseus is being a badass, or a Bob's apron. Bob's apron.
Is that a Bob's Burgers reference?
No, it's so like, we're not supposed to curse. So like B-A, Bob's apron.
Okay.
And then B-S is Bob's shorts. Anyway. Okay. So he's being awesome and giving the Aurors all these really good commands. And he's just taking charge. And it's just kind of like, makes my heart flutter a little bit. I'm not a huge Theseus fan in general, but whew.
Yeah, I love me some Theseus.
He's very pretty.
There was that episode earlier on about how Percy and Theseus are kind of the same character, and Percy's my favorite character, so it stands to reason that Theseus is my favorite character.
Excuse me?
You didn't know that Percy was my favorite character?
Maybe I blocked it out of my memory.
President and only member of the Percy Weasley fan club. Thanks.
I'll tell Chris Rankin. Let him know.
You know, he knows.
Oh, good.
I met him at MuggleNet Live. I told him that Percy was my favorite character, and he looks me dead in the eye, and he goes, "No, he's not." And I was like, "I will fight you right now, Mr. Rankin."
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Mr. Rankin.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
He still signed my book.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure he was just, like, shocked more than angry, but...
No, he wasn't angry. He was in disbelief, probably because literally no one has ever said that to him before.
I mean, Percy is one of his favorite characters, I'm pretty sure. I think he's talked about that, but...
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. If you're going to be that character, you gotta have some love for him.
You better love him.
Yeah. All right, on to... The Aurors start making their way into the amphitheater. And, you know, Theseus is like, don't attack them. Don't become what they say we are. They're not breaking any laws just by listening to them. By listening to him. And it kind of just reminds me of today's current political climate. It sure does.
It seems very timely.
But that is depressing, so we will move on to other things.
back into the amphitheater when my queen, Vinda, brings Grindelwald his hookah.
A skull hookah.
A skull hookah.
That needs its own backstory.
And, you know, Target's rolling out that Halloween merch soon. I'm just saying, put a skull hookah up there.
I would totally buy that. Heck yes. And he shows, like, the vision, right, of World War II with his hookah mm-hmm. thing.
And it starts out with a tank, which I thought was really cool because it's scary.
Yeah, to use theme park terminology, it's a weenie. Like, it's something to immediately grab your attention.
It's a what?
Well, like...
It's... Okay, so in theme
park... She said what she said.
Yeah, in theme park terminology, there's... Every Disney park, for instance, has a weenie. It's something that's going to grab your attention.
Oh, you like did Cinderella say Castle, weenie. Okay.
The Tree of Life.
Weenie, so, not Junior. I'm sorry.
This is... Grindelwald using the tank is the weenie, because it's going to immediately grab your attention. You're immediately going to focus right on
that. I really don't want that to catch on.
It's a theme park thing. Don't worry. It's not going to catch on outside of nerdy theme park circles.
But by showing this vision of World War II, Is he saying that World War II will only happen if he doesn't, if, like, he doesn't take power and control the Wizarding World and, like, you know, do whatever he's planning on doing to the Muggles? Because, like, is he saying that World War II could have been avoided if we had just given him power? Like, what is he saying?
I think that is what he's implying.
Just because he wants to gain power, so he's like, this will happen if you don't follow me.
Like, dang. Like, that's scary. Yeah. And then we get, like, the big bomb at the end, too, which is just, like...
cool.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's... again, it's visually stunning and honestly a beautiful thing, but then, you know, it's terrifying because, you know, that's the nuclear bomb. That's not fun.
Yeah. But then Jacob's face when he says, not another war, oh, kills me. And it just, like, I don't know about you guys, but I always constantly forget that, like, Jacob had a life before these films.
Uh-huh.
He just, like, didn't magically, like, appear and get created.
Yeah, like, he was a human muggle that didn't know that magic existed and was just, like, normal and, like, lived a life, and part of that life was being a veteran.
He was a veteran in World...
well, he was a veteran in World War One, and I always forget that all the time, and then he said that line, and I was like, oh, crap. Like, he's lived this. Uh-huh. Poor guy. Like, he's having some serious PTSD right now. You can see it in his face.
And this is why I'm glad the film series ends before World War II starts, so I don't have to stress about if he got drafted or had to go back.
Oh my god, no, that's just going to make me stress even more if I don't know.
Well, I think he's probably too old to be drafted at this point, so I think it's probably fine.
Well, was the draft a thing for World War II?
Yes.
It was? Oh, okay.
Well, it was for Vietnam. I guess I can't remember if it was for World War II, now that I'm thinking about it.
I'm 99% sure it was. I'm Googling it.
I feel like this would be one of those wars where they would need to.
Yeah, it's big enough.
It is a world war.
It is.
It looks like World War II was when they created the draft.
What? That's not possible, because wasn't Vietnam before? Oh, wait, no, Vietnam was after.
Vietnam was after.
You know, I know history is hard.
Vietnam was in, like, the 60s or
70s. History is hard, guys. I don't... math is not...
There's no math in history. It's dates. It's memorization.
dates are numbers. Numbers are math.
Numbers are not math.
Excuse me.
But going back to Lizzie puts a point in here that was interesting about wands versus guns. If a wizard could cast Avada Kedavra before a bullet hit them, or, like, can a shield charm deflect a bullet?
I think so.
I mean, really, like, just try to think about it, because definitely one of, like, the reasons that Grindelwald wants to get ahead of the Muggles is because he's like, oh, look at these weapons. But then if people did live in harmony, well, like, I'm sure it wouldn't be harmony, you know, because wizards would have freaking wands and people would be like, oh, they're oppressing us, Grindelwald. And then there would be war. And then it's like, really, like, who would win? Wizards or guns?
Yeah, the wizards are going to win.
I would assume so, but, you know.
Yeah, like, it's kind of just, like, it reminds me of the X-Men. We're bringing another fandom into this, but, like, it's like Magneto against, like, all the guns, right? Because the guns are made of metal, and he can, like, manipulate that.
He can bend metal, like, chops.
Yeah, he can, like, make them useless with his powers, and I feel like wizards could do something very similar.
Yeah, and as far as we know, wizards don't even know what guns are, because they talk about that in Prisoner of Azkaban. Like, they describe a gun as a wand that shoots bits of metal.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of just beneath them, technology-wise. Well,
and that's why I think the tank is so scary, like, kind of going back on the little vision, because I'm assuming wizards know what cars are, but just because if they're out in, like, the Muggle area, they see them. But I highly doubt they've seen what a tank is, and it's this big, scary-looking thing that goes...
Mm-hmm. How do they go?
Okay. Wait, one more time. I missed it. Anyway,
that's a tank noise.
That's a tank noise. That's the noise that I make when I'm playing with army trucks.
Good. I'm glad. But then Grindelwald says, let's see here. I'm going to get fine. You do nothing when I speak of this. You must remain calm and contain your emotions. Pause. There are auras here among us. And then it immediately cuts to Tina, who was like, who told?
Yeah.
Who is the snitch?
She's got some stress face going, for sure.
It's because of those salamander eyes.
And then it, like, cuts to Newt, and there's, like, this one guy in front of him who, like, clearly, like, looks back in and side-eyes him, and he's like, you. And Newt's, and like, Newt's like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not an orr. Like, I'm just a dude with a niffler.
Newt's just
and a bow truckle.
Listen, the orrs also, like, they did not do this well. They didn't show up on time. They didn't infiltrate. They were like, let's just walk in 10 minutes late without the Starbucks. And if there's 35 of us, I'm sure it will not draw any attention at all. If we all just stand in the back, it'll be fine. Nah.
Yeah. It's like, it's like police coming to, like, a protest, and they just, like, it, obviously their presence there is going to be threatening no matter what. So it's just not going to work out for them.
Well, maybe Theseus was on London time, but they're in Paris, so it was Paris time, and there's an hour difference.
That's what they're like, because Theseus wanted to go to Wizard Starbucks. He's like, no, you guys, it's pumpkin spice latte season.
Oh my God. They are out. I've had three.
It's BOGO.
Oh my goodness.
What?
I refuse to believe that Theseus is that basic, guys.
Nope, he's basic. I love him and he's basic.
I'm just more alarmed that Rex has already had three PSLs.
Well, I haven't had three PSLs.
It's been out for like 2 days.
I do the
Rex, like, pumpkin cream cold brew. Like, resides. Rex resides in Starbucks. That's where he lives.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's where he moved to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the big move. He moved
to. That's why it's so roomy.
The reserve store on, like, in the loop.
Oh, you live on the fancy Starbucks in Michigan Avenue.
That's lovely.
We're getting close to the end here, though.
Yeah, let's try and get this back on the rails. Let's see how many more fandoms,
because we just got the basic ones with the PSLs.
I mean, I do enjoy the come closer, brother wizards line. You know, Grindelwald trying to be like, hey, look, it's all good. They can still be with us. They can hang. Everything's fine. No one's dying just yet, except for, like, that one baby before.
He's just trying to, like, make himself seem cool. Like, he's like, look, followers, I'm nice to my enemies, too.
He's so smooth. He's just ugly.
He's very smooth.
Mm-hmm.
I think his eyes are really attractive. Like,
that's
like
a
young Grindy okay. in the mirror.
Right.
Like, and then he just hasn't seen sun for a couple of days. Or he's using amazing SPF,
days?
Which I want
maybe,
to know is SPF.
Maybe Grindelwald is a vampire. Have we ever thought of that?
But are vampires,
no, but like
do they
it?
Automatically turn pale? Because in Twilight, they just sparkle. But they are pale.
Twilight is not vampire canon. Anyway.
And that's the final word on that.
Alright, so then, the screenplay references a long, charged look between Theseus and Leda, which we don't get. We just have Leda kind of going, peer?
Yeah, well, they have Theseus looking in a direction, and then they cut to a completely different fit, like, camera with Leda looking into a different direction, and it's like, I guess we're supposed to assume that they're looking at each other, but it really wasn't obvious.
Yeah, like, it doesn't feel charged. It's like she says, like, oh, look over there!
You know, sometimes I forget that, like, they're in a relationship.
Yeah, I mean, it's
they
very easy.
They are engaged.
They're in love.
Sure.
They're engaged. You get engaged when you're in love, Helene.
I mean, theoretically? Yeah, okay. And on that note, that was our section. Good job, guys.
Yay,
yeah,
we finally did it after talking about 7 million fandoms.
An hour and a half later, here we are.
Oh, boy. Well, that is that for our main discussion this week. And for this week's podcast question, do we think Nakini is a pureblood? And if so, would that have impacted Voldemort's relationship with her? Following up, what do you think of her implying that she and Credence would be hunted for sport? So, you know, we'd definitely love to hear from you, so drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets or email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com. And as a reminder, we have a really cool, fun new perk for our Thunderbird level patrons, a monthly sticker. We hope everyone has enjoyed the last bunch that has been sent out so far. And while you're perusing the internet, don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us grow our community and for other Fantastic Beasts fans to find us. Oh, that was a pun, and I didn't even mean to do it.
That's sad.
I said that they would find us.
Fantastic Beasts. Fantastic Beast fans and where to find us.
So cute. All right, I'm done talking.
But if you need help on finding us on any social media platform, we are at Speak Beastie on Twitter and Instagram. On Facebook, we are facebook.com/speakbeastie. On Tumblr, we are speakbeastiepodcast.tumblr.com. And please support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/speakbeastie. I'm Rex.
I'm Lizzie.
I'm Helene.
And I'm Anne.
Case closed.